Hello and welcome to GPTV on Tuesday the 14th of July. My name's Philip Kingston.
And I'm Gary P.
Gary, how good is today? Why are you thinking how good is today? Well, I'll tell you that's what you're thinking. You're thinking that we're in the home straight to getting rid of 2020. We've tipped over the edge and we're now in the latter part of 2020. Oh, I can't wait for this year to be over. I'm so over 2020.
I could just have a cardboard cut out of me here, couldn't I? You ask your question, you answer the question, then you comment on your own answer. It's just like,
do you know what? A cardboard cut out of you would be so much better.
I can just go nick off to Queensland.
So much better than the real you.
If I could find my way there, you know, nick off to Queensland. By the way, did you see, by the way, the young guys in the minivan in Queensland?
No.
They were like,
This wasn't my son and his crew, was it?
It could have been, but no, it wasn't. But you know, they went up to Queensland and they got caught and they got interviewed on camera. And they go, "You've got caught, yeah." You know, and the guy was so refreshingly honest, but he was pretty, you know, wasn't the brightest, you know, guy ever, but he's like, yeah, no, we got caught, you know, they didn't get our excuse, you know, but we're here, but so we're gonna have a good time anyway. So they all got fined, they got up to Queensland. It was very, very funny.
Could
interview.
Well be my son Ben, who's bought himself a four-wheel drive together with three mates and are spending the rest of 2020 driving around this glorious country.
Well,
they
can't now, Philip. Well, I hope they're not thinking about it now.
They made their escape from Victoria into New South Wales ahead of time.
They're free.
So, a shout out to them as they navigate their way around. You could not meet four more clueless campers if you actually tried.
Yeah, but anyway, they've got sunshine and freedom, more than we've got
here
in Melbourne.
And they've also got a satellite phone, Gary, just in case that they're in the outback and their car breaks down.
Is that right?
Because between the four of them, they couldn't change a wheel. They couldn't fill the radiator. I said, do you know about filling the radiator?
No.
And he looks at me with this blank look on
his face. Well, good luck to him. Good luck to Ben. He's nicked off into the heat and into freedom, Phil, because we're in lockdown here. But I've got to say, Phil,
it's the lockdown state.
As lockdown as we are, and last week's show, you know, didn't have the lockdown in it because it was recorded just before the announcement. As far as it's lockdown is, the buyers aren't locked down anywhere. The buyers are out and sellers are out. You can't lock them down because they're still trading, Phil.
Well, are we going to talk about last weekend's auctions, Gary, where we knew that Chairman Dan did not allow us to hold physical auctions?
No, there will not be any auctions.
So was a midnight, I think, Friday night. You couldn't do that.
Well, you announced it on, I think, Sunday, Phil, and then the cutoff was Wednesday midnight.
Right, okay. So cleverly, we brought in our auctions into these lovely rooms where we film GPT every week, which is 198 Balaclava Road, Caulfield North, on the corner of Stanley Street.
He spent a fortune here.
Anyway, we socially distanced all of our bidders. We had these chairs set up in this lovely semicircle.
I didn't bring the Glen 20, but I was...
I think that medical evidence did come out to show that Glen 20 was not effective
really help.
Against COVID.
And people were coughing and spluttering. I thought it was COVID, but it was actually the Glen 20 was killing them, Phil. Sometimes the cure is worse than the disease.
Anyway, we had five auctions here on Wednesday evening. Yep. Viewers, we kicked it off at 6 o'clock and went through to just after 8 o'clock. Yep. And we had a wonderful turnout, Gary. We had a lovely turnout of bidders. Yep. And we sold four out of
Should
five
have catered
competitively.
It with food. It would have been good to cater for food. We had drinks.
Well, we did have our coffee crew here serving. Yeah. In fact, one gentleman asked for a beer, of which we did supply him. And then I thought to myself, I wonder if he wanted to get out of the contract if he was a buyer. Would
say be careful
that Gary Peer and Associates influenced him with alcohol to buy it. Anyway, he was the underbidder, so he played his role. We got him pleasantly hammered. He didn't know what he was bidding on.
That's not true.
Good.
Don't say that, Philip. That's not true. There was people.
He was a genuinely registered bidder.
A genuinely registered drunk bidder. No, you shouldn't say that because this world of political correctness, Philip, there's people watching and they're jumping. It's, you know, like Paul Hogan, right? Paul Hogan made his life out of laughing amongst people and their differences. And I think that's one of the great things about Australia. We take the piss and we laugh at people's differences.
We take the piss, Gary.
Yeah. And we laugh about people's differences, but we don't do it nastily, we do it loving. But somehow it's become all of this twisted, nasty, and now they can't say anything and we've got to be so careful.
Well, some quick facts about Paul Hogan, Gary, because people do tune into the show to hear some interesting facts.
Of course they do.
But Paul Hogan was tested twice.
For COVID?
tested twice when he was at school as a 16-year-old, and it basically came through that he was in the top 1% of intellectual capacity.
Is that
they tested him the first time. This is a beautiful story at his local school. They tested him the first time because he was a rat bag at school, apparently. Sure. They tested him the first time and it came up with this ridiculously high IQ score.
Yeah.
So what did they do, of course? They tested him a second time because they figured that the results must have been wrong.
Yeah.
And another piece of trivia.
And then, by the way, then they stuck him on the bridge to paint it, didn't they? You're smart enough to paint a bridge.
Another piece of trivia about Paul Hogan is that when they filmed the early shows of the Paul Hogan Show, he shared the studio with Julius Sumner Miller.
Yes.
And the two of them...
Why is it so?
They had this lifelong connection because, funnily enough, this genius, Paul Hogan, his interest, what's his hobby? Quantum physics. Who would have thought?
You know what? It's like us at school, you know? Like, we were rat bags.
Yep, we were.
And that's about
it.
Rat bags
with very low IQ.
Yeah. So we were almost like him. We had the rat bag part, like, just not the intelligence part, right, Phil?
But okay, anyway, well, let's talk about...
We talked about the auctions. You talked about the rooms. And, of course, the first auction, which exploded... at 6 o'clock, which was a property in Beach Street. Philip, the reserve is $1,200,000 at the bottom of our range of 1.2 to 1.3. Beautifully compliant with legislation, Philip.
Yes, Gary.
1.2 to 1.3, reserve 1.2, first bid, 1,280.
Yep.
Away it went.
Away it went. Like a train, a steam train.
Steam train. There's no stopping. It was an express train, Phil. No stations anywhere at all. Sold for $1,480,000 under intense competition.
So we had 16 registered bidders. Although I don't think all 16 showed up.
No, they didn't all show up. Actually, I think they may have, Phil, because we checked them off as they came in. There was 20 and 16 did show up, Philip.
Okay.
And we had to ask them to come as single people, not because we were doing anything, you know, like it wasn't going to be a swingers party or anything, but a single people because...
It wasn't one of those auctions where you throw your keys into the centre of the...
You're going home with him and her. But no, it wasn't one of those auctions, Phil, but we had to do it because we didn't want to breach the rule of 20, of course.
Yes, Gary, anyway. Keep with your politically correct. We can form with legislation.
We did, Phil.
All of that sort of
We're
thing.
Beautifully
we had
compliant.
Plenty of this beautiful hand sanitizer. Yeah.
With our own label on it. Anyway, Phil, that was a very interesting one. And people like the house and they also... So if you don't know what's hot, Phil, land is still hot. Phil.
Absolutely. Caulfield, land is South your land. Blank canvas. It's interesting because you and I have worked through a number of property downturns.
The thing that always seems to stay strong
is land, because there's always a buyer, there's always a builder, a developer, an investor, a homeowner. So land is still going brilliantly well. And mind you, talking about brilliantly well, Gary, we did talk in the sales meeting on Monday about messages for the marketplace.
Yep.
And the message for the marketplace that we really talked at length about is... We have not seen a softening of prices to any great way.
And there's a few hungry opportunist buyers out there, Philip, salivating with expectation that things are going to just plummet and they're going to pick up properties and
the bottom feeders
who are there searching around,
waiting
scaling,
to take opportunity from somebody else's misery,
like a crocodile and just under the surface of the water, just waiting to jump up and grab its prey and pull it back in, Phil. But anyway,
there's going to be a lot of hungry crocodiles around, Gary, moving forward, because I just do not get a sense that there's much of a softening.
And it was
the
same in Sydney, Philip. Prices haven't really been affected, and I guess we're a bit surprised by that, really, because you wouldn't be wrong in thinking it would happen.
Although,
but it
in
hasn't.
The interests, Gary, of transparency, it's only fair to review the article that was in the Age newspaper and the Financial Review last week.
It wasn't the racing section.
Where they talked about city sales. Yeah. So we're talking about city apartments, and I think the stat was that something like 30% of all sales in the city had occurred at a loss. But here's the thing, viewers. We, as a generalisation, would not recommend purchasing inner city apartments, that is, in the CBD, unless they're owner-occupied style apartments in smaller boutique buildings. So it doesn't come as a great surprise to us that those apartments in buildings of 300 and 400 that were really driven for the investor model doesn't come as a great surprise to us that they are being sold at less than the purchase price.
That's always been the case. I mean, we sold for Jamie Dury in the city years ago, Philip, but one of those
A little bit of a name drop there, Gary.
I don't mind that.
Celebrity gardener, celebrity agent, Jamie Dury.
We did. We sold for Jamie Dury. And, you know, again, it was, it was from the time of buying to the time of selling. That off the plan inner city stuff, Philip, has never really been. But you get all the benefits. You get, you know, the appreciation benefit. You get depreciation schedule. You get good rents, good returns, high body corporate fees, but they can be okay
as well. Viewers, just let's be clear. We're going to give you a piece of advice. Do we recommend or not buying into an inner city building with 300 to 400 apartments in it? No, we don't.
We sold for Rebel Wilson as well, Phil, not that long ago. She was there also. Can I get on a bit of a roll here and talk about all the famous people we sold for?
Rebel. We sold for the...
We launched her, Phil. As soon as we sold her property, her career went off.
Harry and Meghan Markle's, we've just wrapped up a transaction.
That was very confidential, Phil. We're supposed to talk about that.
Yep. And Elvis. They've just bought their...
And Elvis as well. Some people think he's dead. No, he's not dead. He's a recent purchaser. Anyway, let's keep going. We're getting carried away now. I watched a show the other day about what's going to happen when the Queen dies. It's called London Has Fallen or something, and it was a little documentary. I'll send it to you because everybody's ready for her,
except when the Queen dies.
Yeah, everyone's ready for her death except her. She's no intention of going anywhere. But there was an amazing story. I'll send it. I'll find out what it is. Anyway, Phil, Alfred Street, 9A Alfred Street. We're getting a bit carried away and off track as we do. 9A Alfred Street. Hey, Phil, that was a very good auction as well.
That's because I did it.
You did a good job there too, Phil. You've done good. Anyway, the range was 17 to 187, undisclosed, but sold over the range.
Yes, it did.
Shout out to the owners
of that property who I thought when I did the video tour, what a great job they did.
Yes, they did do a great job.
And one of the nice things that underpins that development is that they're moving into the other half.
They are.
That's always a great sign when the developer moves in.
Beware, developers, if you don't do a good job, you're going to have a neighbour that's going to be knocking on the door every day. Waking you up, good result. Letting your ties down.
Alfred Street's a great location, and that is yet another sign that at Gary Pirin Associates we have a specialty in selling these two-unit developments.
We do,
and we've sold. I reckon, you know, if we looked even at 20, it may well be 100, and then again, it may well not be either. So move along, Gary.
Over the years, it'd be 100. I mean, we've been around for a long time. You have been, Gary.
I've been around
for a long time. What, 6 months longer than you, or something like that? Phil, 4 months. 52 Clinton Street, Brighton East, Philip, also sold.
Another two-story town residence.
Another one. We'll just keep rolling out.
For a lovely couple to another lovely couple.
Yes.
So good result
it's
there.
It's a lovely couple property, that one, Phil.
Clinton Street in East Brighton, that little pocket of East Brighton where we seem to have a really strong market share, and no surprise as to why buyers want to live there because it's beautifully serviced by schools, shops, public transport, Gary.
No sale too big, no sale too small, Phil. We even sold a little one-bedroom apartment, nice one, in the Avenue in Windsor, Philip, and that was sold beyond its range, which was 390 to 420. Anyway, that's what's going on in the sales, Phil. There's been a few others made as well, but we haven't got time to sit here and talk. We haven't got all day, you know. We've got to move on with what's coming up this weekend. Now, let's just talk about what's coming up this week. Firstly, I want to talk about Zoom auctions, because we've taken a bit of a survey, and this is one of the very useful things that, you know, one of the many useful things that our marketing department's doing. They've taken a survey and they've gone out there saying, would you bid at a Zoom auction? Yes or no?
This was on Instagram. We ran a short Instagram campaign.
Yeah, we're making it happen, Philip. We are leading the industry.
So we'll put that up on screen now. There is the Instagram post and there are the results.
So far.
Having said that, we will be running some Zoom auctions. We're all set up for it. We're all ready to go. But we have a theory around Zoom auctions, and ultimately, if you do want to discuss that, just give us a call.
So basically, we've taken a survey about Zoom auctions. The results are there. Most people wouldn't want to bid there, but we're going to have it anyway.
We are, Gary. Yeah. There will be opportunities.
We're good listeners.
Where we've got strong bidding intentions,
I know that,
and we will counsel the buyers around it.
We will
proceed with caution.
So
Gary,
let's ask people. So people want to know, how can you have an auction for this weekend? You can't do it on site. And you, Mr. Kingston, over there have just said, well, we're not going to do a Zoom auction necessarily. So what are the options?
So the options
around
are,
what's
the,
going
the options
on
are, Gary, is that we negotiate, as we are skilled negotiators, with the buyers prior to the auction,
or even on
the day where we will go backwards and forwards between buyers.
With the right social distancing, Philip.
Documenting offers going backwards and forwards. It's good old-fashioned real estate,
forwards,
Gary,
and back.
Of which we've always done, even through the boom markets and when auctions were flying. Yep. We've always had the ability to sell prior to auction through negotiation and going backwards.
We
and
never
forwards.
Sleep, do we, Phil? Some of our deals get done at midnight and 1 a.m. and all sorts of funny times. So amidst all the confusion of discussion, Philip, about Zoom auction, having auction, not having auction, we have these properties scheduled. They will go to Zoom auction if not sold before or if not negotiated on the spot.
Or, Gary, they may be postponed to a later date.
But at this stage, we will be Zoom auctioning them. So if you're interested in them, you better let us know so we don't miss you out. Anyway, we are going to be 602 at 126 Carlisle Street. Philip, that's our first one.
Gary, love this building, love that location. And part of the St Kilda and Carlisle Street groove, two bedrooms, one bathroom, one car space. And the apartment is much larger than the average. So that's good buying, great location.
We're zooming on to Marmor Road in Murrumbina. Philip, that's also a a double auction.
901 square metres, Gary, of prime land, together with a really lovely home, three bedrooms, two bathrooms, plenty of off-street car parking. What a great land warehousing opportunity that is.
We've got every auction's in a separate suburb. I know we've got St Kilda twice, but we are zooming at 11:30 with triple auction action. Philip, we're going to be in Begonia Road.
Begonia Road, Gary. Love that location. Walking distance to Omar, that wonderful roastery in Garden Vale Road. You can walk to there to the Garden Vale train station. And that's three bedrooms, two and a half bathrooms, a double lock-up garage and a north-facing porch.
Is Omar
porch
the one on the corner?
It's Omar nice. Is, Gary.
It's a nice one. And then there's the other one around Sons of Mary, isn't it?
Something like that. Yeah, we've eaten there a couple of times, Gary. But that whole Garden Vale Road crosses over Nepean Highway to become Martin Street. And that little precinct there is just beautiful. It's a good buying opportunity.
221 Hotham Street, Elswick. Good address, this one. Great looking home.
Gary, fantastic location, fantastic address. Two bedrooms and one bathroom. Gorgeous garden area, and you can be part of the Glen Huntley Road groove. You can be part of the Carlisle Street groove. You can be part of the Glen Ira Village groove. You can even be part of the Ormond Road Elwood groove, Gary, if you buy that.
You can be grooving and zooming all
you
in one
can.
Day. We can move on to Cardigan Street. Great looking home, this Gary, one. Nothing, I think it might be postponed, but let's
Gary,
go through it.
Gary, what a great property. We love Cardigan Street. Two bedrooms, one bathroom, and off-street car parking for as many as three cars, and great location there.
Phil, there's no nuts in Walnut Street, is there? There's only quality people who love living in
Address. There may well be, Gary. That's a really good property. It's one bedroom, one bathroom, one car space. Great affordable entry into the market, either an owner-occupier or investor, but good real estate.
And Jeremy Rosen's would be starting off as he's finishing, as he's starting off, I should say, Philip, same thing. Clyde Street in the heart of St Kilda.
Gary, two bedrooms, one bathroom, one car space. Good courtyard garden there, so something as a point of difference.
We finalise our weekend, Philip, on Sunday at 1:30. Scheduled to go to auction is Balaclava Road. Great property.
Gary, complete with courtyard garden, two bedrooms, two bathrooms, one car space. But the real selling feature there is the wraparound courtyard garden.
Indeed. Phil, we have a feature property this week. It's not due for auction yet.
No, it's
but
not.
But it is a spectacular property that's come up, and it's right opposite the park.
Gary,
there, Philip,
Marara Road is one of the best locations because you've got the park in front of you. That's a bit of a, unless you live in that location, you're not really aware of that park, but fantastic park. You can also walk across the park in the morning to Cafe Brightside, pick up your breakfast, your takeaway breakfast, of course. But this is, this is a beautiful home. It is five or even six bedrooms, four and a half bathrooms, lock-up garage, double lock-up garage, parking in front. It's got everything that opens and shuts, complete with stone bench tops and timber floors, and the most fantastic terrace and sitting room also on the first floor that overlooks the park. So,
look, that's a big wrap on GPTV. There is stuff going on, Philip. It might be Dan might have said lock down the market or lock down yourselves, but he can't lock down the market, Philip, because people are still chomping at the bit, as we say in racing. Oh, by the way, I had a winner the other day.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. AC Bow won Hawkesbury.
AC Bow, that's another horse that you own.
Another one, this one. Well, I don't know.
How many horses have you got going around at the moment?
Too many, Phil. This one's owned by women only. And, you know, it's discriminatory because Gay Waterhouse said it's only for the ladies. So, of course, it's owned by my wife and daughter, actually.
So you've sucked them into vortex of loser racing.
Well, it's their first horse. They've had a winner, you know, AC Bow. Anyway, Phil, Order of Command will be back, and Order of Fury is coming out soon. But that's another story. We will continue to bring you real estate news, and there's no lockdown GPTV. We're still up and running and bringing you all of the information of the real estate market. I'm Gary Peer.
I'm Philip Kingston. Have a fantastic week.